any director, I would say to them, it's not my movie, it's our movie, and you are the captain of the ship, and I'm following you, and I'm being directed by you. This is the only body you got. No matter what, this is the only thing you got, and you got to appreciate and take care of it. Right now, in the life, in the world that we live in, when you marry somebody, it's a contract between you and the federal department.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the studio. Today, we have a special guest, icon and a legend, Antonio Sabato Jr. Welcome to the studio, Antonio.
How you doing, man? Good morning to everybody. Good morning to you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me. Man, I've been reading your book, Sabato. It's amazing. I'm loving this book.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you cover. There's 51 chapters, so I hope you got a lot of time because we're going chapter by chapter. No, oh, I'm just
there's
kidding.
There's a lot of stuff.
Could have been there's more. A lot to cover. Yes. Oh my God, I bet there could have been more. You have an amazing story. I mean, a lot of people might think you've had quite a charmed life, you know, just by all of your accolades and amazing accomplishments, but you've faced quite a bit of adversity over the years.
Yeah, you know, those times that are tough in life, either they break you or they make you stronger, and you can learn from everything. And I've learned a lot, and I'm a much better place now than I ever been. And because of those things and those stories and those events in my life, and also not just in my life, but my family as a whole. I'm much clearer now, and I'm having the best days of my life and the best life of my life because of those events.
Yeah, amazing. And I know you touch a lot on, you know, just your early years with your family. There's beautiful photos in this book, too. Beautiful photos of you and your sister, Simone. Yeah. The family photos are amazing. So you get your good looks from your father.
And my mom. Yeah, my parents always taught me since I was a young, you know, my father put me in the boxing ring when I was 6 years old. And I was ready to play with my friends. You know, I had my little cars. And we were ready to play. And then my father says, no, you're not going to play anymore. We're going to go and start doing our thing. And I remember that, like it was yesterday, that my father was, you know, sports, being an athlete, being in top shape, but also in relations to family values, yourself, dignity with yourself, you know, train yourself spiritually, you know, physically, mentally, everything. So I had that from a young age from my parents.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, beautiful photos of your mother, too. Gosh, I mean, what haven't you done? I mean, model, actor, boxer, race car driver, Congress.
I'm still doing those things, you know.
You're still doing all those things
now than ever before. My mother always told me, because as I got older, you know, I focused at different times of my life in many things at the same time. I've always done that, and I've always done it my way. And she's always said, like you're just your father plus 1.0 of your dad, you know, because my dad had a lot of that, but I just took it to another level, you know. Like I left high school at a young age. I didn't graduate, and then a few years ago I went back to school and I got my diploma back. And she's like, my mom is like, you always do things later at different times, you know. I went back to gymnastics in my 30s, and I did 10 years of gymnastics when I should have done it in my teens. So I was all over the place. And now I'm boxing in my 50s and racing cars in my 50s again. So I just do things depending on how I feel and what I want to do in life. And hopefully it will help a lot of people that are out there that stop living. Because as you get older, you want to keep living more and you want to keep pushing yourself. And there's no reason why you shouldn't, you know, just because another number, another age, another year comes up, people slow down. But actually, I'm going faster and stronger as I get older.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think most people should take a page out of your book. I get that. So I kind of do things my way also. It doesn't make sense to most people, but it makes sense for me. I didn't take up jiu-jitsu till I got into my 40s. I'm closer to 50 now. Yeah. And, you know, I get that. I think it's amazing. And I think, you know, I remember back in the day, I was, you know, in high school in the 90s, and you just blew up with a 90-foot poster billboard of Calvin Klein. I think that, like, you took the world by storm with that. And then the next thing I know, you're popping up in a Janet Jackson video. She was huge at the time, still is huge.
The Janet Jackson came first. I was really in my teens. I wasn't even 18 years old when I got that job. And I went to an audition, because I was working as a messenger, and I wrote it in my book. I was working as a messenger, driving around LA, delivering scripts and things. And I was really proud of myself because they were paying me pretty good. And they gave me a radio in the car. So I was kind of like, I was talking on the radio, 10-4, delivering stuff to big agencies and walking in, and I could walk anywhere and drop off anything. So I felt good with that job for some reason. It was one of my first, I started working when I was 12, but when I got my license and I was driving around, I got this job also. And one of the places that I went to, a modeling agency started representing me, and I took some pictures, and then they sent me to this audition for Janet Jackson. And I was a big fan, you know, she was the biggest star in the world. Rhythm Nation just came out. And then I got the job with her, and it was really overwhelming because they just told me, you got to go to this location in the middle of a dry desert in Lancaster. They're doing a video. I didn't know what they wanted me to do. So I'm driving in this car with the radio still, because I'm still working, but I took some time off to do this job, and I showed up, and it was huge. There was helicopters and RVs everywhere. It was a huge production. Herb Ritz, you know, the biggest photographer of all time, who became a friend of mine later on. And then I just jump in the makeup artist trailer, and they're doing my hair. And I'm like, what is going on? And then, are you ready? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. And then I go out in the desert, and there she is, Janet, next to me. So it was like overwhelming, like one to the next. And then I got the video, and then I left. I went to Europe, and I started doing these Italian movies, which was a lot of fun. And I was away from America for a little bit. So when the video came out, it took off. But nobody really knew my name. You know, I was like the guy in the video. And I was like, it was really cool because I was able to, oh, you're the guy, whatever. But they didn't put my name in it because nobody knew my name. Nobody knew who I was. And then I went back to General Hospital, and that's when I got the job and things changed.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was reading that in the book because you had to submit a video for Janet. And yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing. And then the next thing you knew, you got a call. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's
so cool. Yeah, sorry I got that out of sequence there.
No, most people do. It's fine. I got paid like not even $300. And back then, man, I'm telling you, man, it was like I had gas money. My Honda Civic was full. I was driving in this Honda Civic in the middle of the desert and working with Janet, I was like, you know, top of the world, man. And it was awesome.
I remember when that video came out, that was huge because that was a new evolution of her career too.
Yeah.
So that went.
And she looked different. She had a wig on, which, you know, it was Peter Savick, one of the greatest hairstylists of all time, who's still a friend of mine to this day. He's worked with Madonna and the biggest one, you know. He came up with this idea, and I don't think she was 100% for it. But then when she put it on, and, you know, as you know, everything was history after that. But the look and the whole thing with Herb and just a classic video, and I'm part of that. So it's a blessing, and I'm very humble to be part of that, the whole, you know, 90s video stuff. Because, you know, it was bigger than life, and to be working with the biggest star in the world was incredible.
Yeah, very iconic. And then your friendship with Herb Ritz led you to a friendship with Madonna, actually.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that was a great story. I don't want to share too much of the book because it's a really good read. Like, I purchased 5 copies to gift out to guests of the studio.
Man. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good read. And you've had some interesting connections. Pam Anderson, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Ashley Judd, very amazing women. And you tell, you share your stories in a very classy way.
Of course. Of course. And they deserve that. And it was part of my life that I was in a whole new world, living on my own in New York City and experiencing this new life, and, you know, wanted to be an actor so bad, and doing things my way, movies my way. You know, I never followed the herd. I never followed what everybody else wanted me to do or what the agents wanted me to do or managers. I've always did things my way, and that's just the type of guy I am, and I'm still doing it to this day, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. You've got so many great initiatives going on. I mean, you're an author, back into race car driving, which is amazing. Who doesn't want to be Antonio Sabato Jr.? It's just such an amazing career.
That's why I have my line. I have my line of Red Line It and Pirata. This line that I released is because of this lifestyle of going after your dreams. Because people waste so much on living other people's lives, you know. It's like if you look at the so-called celebrities, which is like what is a celebrity really? You know, it's something you can't really touch or grab, you know. to me, the only celebrity is the man upstairs, is Jesus Christ. You know, so for me to see actors as celebrities, they're working actors. They should be, you know, they should be put as people as working, and it's very hard to work in this industry to be actually making a living as an actor. It's like 1% of actors are actually making a living and paying their bills. So it's extremely difficult. So that's humbling to be doing that. But celebrities and all that, to me, is it's not really celebrities. To me, it's just, if you're working as an actor, you're making a living, that's awesome, and it's above anything else. But at the end of the day, go after your dreams. Go after everything that you want to do. And I see a lot of my friends and people over the years that, you know, in their 20s, they got the energy, they got the hormones kicking in, and then they slow down and they keep slowing down and they don't just keep it up. You know, I have never stopped training since I was 6 years old. Never. Yeah. I've trained more than an athlete ever does. You know, athlete trains for camps. You know, I'm going to train for my camp and in July for 9 weeks for my boxing camp because I'm boxing, but I'm training all year long, 365 days a year for years. Yeah. You know, I never stop. So I have a lot of knowledge in that department. I have a knowledge in how to take care of yourself physically and mentally and just what, I just know it because I've been doing it for such a long time. I know what works for me. And I just think that people are wasting so much time doing, just giving up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Chapter 36, Why I Train, in the book. I love it. Chapter 36. And then you really get into why you train, and you kind of just covered that in a nutshell. But like, yeah, it's everything for you. It's mentally, spiritual, yeah, emotional,
you
all
need
of
that.
It. All
as men up. And women, we need to be active all the time. It's just good for our hormones, stress level. It's just, there's so many things. And now when people give that up and their body doesn't move, there's a lot of things that come with it, you know, a lot of bad stuff, you know, addiction, pills, psychiatry, you know, you name it, the list goes on, bad foods, not sleeping. Yes. There's a lot of things, but when you focus on yourself and you prioritize things, because people, I always tell them, this is the only body you got, no matter what, this is the only thing you got, and you got to appreciate and take care of it. And you got to love yourself, and you got to really put yourself on a pedestal to be able to be like every day. I tell people, it's like brushing your teeth. You don't think about it. You just got to do it. You got to take care of your teeth. You got to take care of yourself inside and out, because it just, it makes you a better person. And it doesn't make you rely on all the addiction that's going on in the world right now, more than ever. Because, you know, we have, you know, social media and everything else is so addictive. And the food that we eat, the stuff that we drink, alcohol and so forth, it's just detrimental. It's detrimental to a lot of humans, and they deserve better.
It is. I appreciate your perspective on that too. And I appreciated your honesty with addiction in the book, your own struggles. And I've lost a brother to a drug overdose. He was actually the same age as you. He was born in 71. I think you're born in 72, but both my brothers were born in 71, and they had their battles. I mean, I went through my bouts too, but you know, I lost a brother to a drug overdose, and my other brother, you know,
sorry,
he ended up
that.
In
sorry
in
to hear
prison.
That. I had a lot of friends that lost, and I feel for you, and I'm sending you prayers and condolences to you and your family. It's horrible.
I appreciate that. And, you know, that's why I love when people share their stories of coming out on the other side, because it's doable.
It is doable, one day at a time. And, you know, right now in my life, I have, I've never lied. I'm not a good liar. You know, in this business, in show business, you got to lie so much, especially in your private life and how you talk to people. But I got into a place where everything is just open book. And that's why I wrote this thing. And also the way I speak, the way I answer things, because if people really relied on the truth, they could release a lot of stress that way, because they're not afraid to relieve to the world who they really are. And I think people are just so afraid to be themselves. But the point of living is to be yourself. That's the thing. You know what I mean?
Sometimes we come into that a little too late. And I think, you know, that's sad. I think when you get to share your story on a platform, like you get to use your platform, your celebrity platform for good, to share and inspire others and kind of demystify that whole celebrity hoopla, you know, that you're just a real person and you're following your dreams. I mean, your clothing line is amazing. I was on your website. I ordered a couple of shirts myself, and
thank you so much.
I love it. I love the race car driving initiative, and that you're back into that. I, you know, just back to our previous topic here, you had the Ferrari. You crashed your Ferrari, that story in the book. book. That was that had me going. You know, I was reading that. I was
160
like, wow.
miles per hour, hit a wall, and the car was on fire. It was, you know, I am lucky to be alive in different times of my life that I've been very close to death. And I've seen death in my own, you know, my own spirit. I've seen it with my own eyes. But, you know, I am, like I said, because of those events, the things that I've been through, that's why I'm racing again, you know, because I love it. I love racing. I appreciate it. I respect it. I was young and things happen, but I'm still here. And you can never give up on things that mean so much to you because, like you said earlier, you know, life is really too short. And we have each day to make something happen. And those dreams that you have when you're young should keep going forever, you know, for the rest of your life, because that's what life is about. Make those dreams happen. I tell people all the time, you want to climb the Everest? Climb it. If you want to sail on a boat around the world, do it. If you want to do whatever you want to do. But you see, people say that and they go, oh, you're just saying, no, I'm actually believing that and I'm living it. Because if you stop dreaming, if you stop really believing in yourself, what's the point of living at all? You know?
Absolutely. You're living proof. And I love that. I love that about you. And, you know, you've got a celebrity boxing match coming up too.
Yeah.
That's celebrity boxing. Yep. I got the Burnt Coffee Company sponsored you, and I got a shirt from them and they sent me some coffee. That's amazing.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. Now, do you have your match set?
Yeah, I have a match set. My opponent is going to be revealed next week. So everybody has to be calm and patient. But the thing is, you know, I started this long time ago. Me and my coach, Chris Steele, were actually going to fight Roy Jones in his prime in the 90s for $1 million each. So, I, you know, and things didn't work out because I was doing a lot of movies and I couldn't get off the productions that I was doing. I tried very hard and Roy Jones was coming up for a match for, you know, for his belt. I think he went for Ruiz. I think for the heavyweight belt, he won both of them. But I was the first to do that. So now in the last several years, you know, you see the Jake Paul and all these guys who cannot box, who cannot really do anything, who are making millions of dollars and doing this, and YouTubers and all that stuff. I go, you know what? I still want to do that. I never stopped boxing. I've been sparring my whole life and being in a boxing ring and running and doing all that forever. So I want to put my 2 cents and I want to show my talent. So I'm going to fight September 26th in Philadelphia. Which I'm very proud of, and I can't wait to showcase how good I am. But I also want to keep fighting. I would love to get in the ring with Mayweather. I would love to get in the ring with Jake Paul and everybody else in between. The sport of boxing is an amazing sport. My father was in it. I've been in it with friends, boxers and MMA fighters, good friends of mine I've known for many, many years. And my father before me, even in, you know, guys, Italian guys and world champs and all that. And I think I could do a lot. And, you know, I'm in my 50s, and these are obviously celebrity boxing matches. They're not sanctioned. No, I don't think anybody would sanction me to do anything at my age, even though I'm healthier than all of them. But I want to get in there. I want to get in there, and you don't see any actor doing that right now, and you won't either. So I want to fight ex-boxers or people who actually have the guts and glory to get in there and showcase their talent, and we're going to dance. And I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to do
that. Yeah. Well, you're in amazing shape. What can you share, like, for people kind of, you know, in our age bracket? You know, I'm 48 and I have my own wellness practices and everything ties up for me mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You know, I take that pretty seriously. I think you have to run.
You look good. Look at your arms all jacked and everything. You look good. You look fit. T-shirts fits good. You know what I mean? Your skin, everything looks good, man. You see, I mean,
Thank you.
You feel good.
That.
You know, you can see it. That's great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And right back at you. And, you know, for me, I love getting into the sauna. I love training every single day. So 365, I do something every single day. And I know you do too. And, you know, I love sauna. I love training in my, I turn my garage into a gym. So it's heated and cooled so I can get in there. You know, I'm over here in the Metro Detroit area. So we get all the seasons. So even in the winter, I'm out there and, it feels good, you know. I like to incorporate a little bit of everything into my workout. What do you do, you know, just on a daily?
Well, what I do is I have a gym in my garage too, but I don't use air conditioning. For me, I don't like it. I don't like working out in gyms actually at all. I think they're very they're not clean. They're very unclean in every way.
Yeah.
So a lot of germs and gyms all over. So I like to work out really hard, straight for hours and hours. I like to work in heat. I like to work in over 100 degrees of especially in Florida. In my garage, it gets over 200 degrees. And I do a lot of cardio, a lot of weights, a lot of sit-ups, and a lot of everything, a lot of boxing, obviously, a lot of bag work and speed bag and jump rope and running. I just finished doing a 4 mile run this morning in the heat, and then I'll have a different workout in the afternoon. So I basically do 4 hours of workouts a day, 7 days a week. I kill myself to the point of no return.
Yeah.
And I hear from everybody, you shouldn't do this, from trainers, whatever. I really don't care about what anybody says. I only care about what I do. That's
Yeah.
why I'm not a trainer, and that's why people say, "Well, can you train me?" No, because you couldn't do what I do. What I
Right.
do, you could do it maybe one day or 2 days, but I do it 7 days a week, all the time. And I'm not just doing this because I'm going to camp. It'll be a different way of training there, sparring and all that other stuff at Steelboxer. But in my own time, whether I'm doing movies or not, I'm trained constantly to burn, to stay lean. I always wanted to have my body, not like Schwarzenegger. I never liked that dude, and I never liked his body. I never liked the steroid guy. I want to have a lean, mean machine, like a super middleweight. My weight is 168 to fight, so I want to be like really lean, ripped, and move and be strong, but lean to the point where you can run, you can jump, you could do things, you can outlast everybody and every. I could do 24 rounds right now, 3 minutes each. There's not many people that could do that. And I could outlast everybody in a boxing ring. So for me is cardio, 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 leanness, muscle mass, eating a lot of protein and fats, and staying away from carbs, no sugar, no coffee, drinking water all the time. That's it. So it's very like a machine, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
I'm pretty much like a race car, and I'm feeding myself and training myself like so. And that's how I do it. And I get on the bike and I'm riding uphill. I have an indoor bike where even if I go to the beach and I put it as hard as I can and I do 60 minutes going climbing and climbing. I have a wetsuit on, like a sweatsuit. I have wrapped myself with all kinds of stuff. So I'm sweating drenched of 10 pounds of water that I and that's what I need. And after that, I dry myself and I go into weights and I do a lot of weights and I do a lot of bag work and so forth. So it's constant breaking down, but it's leanness. You see,
Yeah.
it's lean and everything is showing and everything is flexing and lean and stretchable, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I subscribe to your perspective as well. I get it. My brother was one of the bigger guys. He got into big
But there's a
weights.
reason why. It's not the looks. See, people think it's the look. The reason why I don't want to be big is because as I get older, I don't want to carry that mass.
That's what I say. I say the exact same thing. So I'm very strategic in my aging
Like,
process, and
like
that's it
lifting
right
heavy,
there.
for example, every single trainer that's on YouTube or whatever that's lifting heavy, and this is everybody, and they're very strong, mind you, they're very strong. God bless them. For me, it's not about strength like that because
Right.
eventually they will all get hurt. They all have surgeries.
Yes.
They all have knee problems. They all have shoulder problems and shoulder because they're pressing so much and pushing so hard all the time, which is great to be that strong. And whether you're on roids or not, it doesn't matter. You still got to push and work hard, right? But the tendons are better when they're lean and strong than heavy and full because even Schwarzenegger, three bypass, his heart surgeries, he doesn't talk about that. He should be talking about that. He should be talking about all the steroid cycles he's done for all those years. And everybody else, that has been healthy and clean and roid free, right? We know who they are, right? But they all get hurt and they all have surgeries. I don't want to have surgeries. I don't want to
Same.
have a shoulder problem or a knee problem or a hip problem because my hips are strong. I could run and I could do things. So I work myself in the longevity and to build it as strong as I can.
I love that. Longevity and preventative maintenance. That's my thing. I have it written on my whiteboard in my garage. Preventative maintenance because I work out with less weights just out of observation, because my brothers were 5 years older than me, and I watched them and their friends work out. Everyone wanted to get big for the aesthetics and all of that. And watching people carry it on, I mean, different strokes for different folks, right? Yeah, I mean, whatever works for you.
Right.
But I know what works for me. I know how my body works, and I can't train my body like someone else trains theirs. I have to do what works for my body. And I subscribe to the same mindset you do. As I move on with more life experience and into my 50s, I want to have that lean mass, and I want to be able to be flexible. And
also, when you carry fat, when you carry that weight, and if you don't work out, you go on vacation, or you go, when you take some time off from the gym, or even if when you get hurt and you have to have a surgery, all of a sudden all of that mass turns into fat. Boom. Yep. And then you become all, and then all that hard work to be lean, you got to go again. Like, I have all these bodybuilders, and God bless them. Listen, that's what they do. They're all liars because they're all on juice, and they're all juicing up a lot. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I don't care if they're lying or it's their business. But at the end of the day, they always do the same thing. They bulk up, and they wear their t-shirt, and they wear their long sleeves because they're all fat and big, right? Because they're bulking up. They don't want, then they're not as cut as they, and then they got to get back into cutting. So it's up and down, right? So it's like up and down and up and down. And some people actually say, well, I'm always lean. No, they're not. Especially when they're on roids and they're over 230 pounds. They're not always lean. They always got to go up and down. They got to eat a lot of calories, 3,000 to 5,000 calories every day. I mean, just like, I mean, excuse me, going to the bathroom that many times, your body, your liver, all your organs working overtime. Plus you're putting steroids in it and everything else. And then when you stop, because you can't, you get to a massive size, you got to cut down. Then you got to go in the treadmill and start sweating and all that. It's just, I don't want to, it's harder work that I don't have to do. If I stay lean and strong all year and I keep pushing myself, that's the best way. You know, then I'll have any issues.
Absolutely.
For me.
And taking on too much weight too, that recovery time is no joke. Like, if you injure yourself, I know just me, as I was getting into my early 40s, late 30s even, just an injury, that recovery time is no joke. It's
no,
like, that's
back
a whole
problems,
setback.
Especially, you know, like deadlifts or squats or things like that, your knees, and they wrap their knees. They all have injuries, and they all been to the doctor and surgeries one time or another. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to keep the tendons, and I want to keep everything smooth, you know, like, you know, you see those Olympians, you know, like the 200 or the 100 meters. You look at their bodies. They're lean. They're fast. You know what I mean? That's what you want. You know, that's my combination of bodies would be a Bruce Lee meets Bolt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
those two put together. That's what I want to look like. And that's what I've been doing my whole life.
Perfect. Yeah. I love that. I blew out a hamstring back in 2016 when I was starting my nonprofit organization. That put me down for a period of time, and the depression sets in because you can't really live your life and train like you do every day when that happens. And that was the last time that will ever happen, I told myself.
And I had injuries, you know, I had injuries, even for me that I don't lift, but I had injuries over the years, you know, for car accidents, and my wrist was broken here, or my left wrist was injured for many years. I mean, it was the pain that it would never go away. And by my workouts, I got rid of it. My rib cage from driving 1,000 laps in a go-kart one time. I think I fractured one of my ribs. My hand, I almost lost my hand to a virus. It was like I couldn't even move my right hand. So I had injuries over the years, but because my mentality and because of my body structure and the way I am, I never stopped. And I always said that it's just going to get better. It might not get better today, but it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. And it does in time. It does. You just beat it
out. Absolutely. Yeah, you're doing it right. And I noticed you got the necklace on today. That's from Sly Stallone. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I shop. A good friend of mine who takes care of all his products. And Sly, they send me this this glove that I've been wanting for a long time. And it means a lot to me to bring the Rocky, you know, the Rocky vibe to Philadelphia. I'm fighting in Philadelphia for all my fans in Philly. New York and everybody, all the East Coast is going to come out. It's just overwhelming, and I'm just so blessed to be able to do this and go after your dreams, man. I in the last few years, you know, I went through so much, and to be in this position now where I have my clothing line, I have movies out, I have another movie coming out. I'm fighting. I'm able to take care of my girl, my kids, and say, you know what? You know, God is good, you know, and never give up. Never give
Yeah.
up.
I love that. You know, a couple years back, I entered Men's Health and Fitness magazine competition to win $20,000 for my nonprofit. I
Yeah.
wanted to buy adaptive equipment for the special needs community, which my nonprofit supports. And
Yeah.
so I was selected to participate in the competition. And I'm more on the lean side, so I'm 6 foot tall. I'm like 170, 165, somewhere in between there. Usually I fluctuate a little bit. And
Is that where you are
so
now?
I,
170?
what's that?
You're
Yeah,
what?
170. Yep.
And we're about the same. We're about the same.
Yeah. And so I appreciate the Rocky shout out there because I had unique photos. So I had my martial arts photographer do a photo shoot with me in my studio. And, I was the only one in the competition, so everyone was huge and jacked in that competition. So I knew I wouldn't take it, but I wanted to bring awareness to the nonprofit. So I had some unique photos, and I had the Rocky shorts. There's a clothing brand that had these
Yeah,
cool
with the American
Rocky shorts.
flag or the yellow
Yes.
ones. The
Oh
American.
no, the I'm sorry. Yeah, the American flag shorts. But I did some Rocky photos, and I did some like Bruce Lee tribute photos
Oh, that's
also.
awesome.
So Bruce Lee from the Green Hornet, he was the chauffeur.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had the hat and the mask and all that. I did those photos, and I did
That's
not take
cool.
that competition, but I won, or I made it to the top 1%, and I was able to bring some funds in because people had to pay to vote for you. And I brought, what did we do? We were raising money for Homes for Wounded Warriors. So
Oh,
anybody
that's
that paid to vote for you, money went to that. And then it also brought awareness to a couple of other
Oh,
nonprofits,
cool.
which was pretty cool. But yeah, Rocky and Bruce Lee were my inspiration for that challenge. So pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's you can see it in your face the way you speak about it because you went through the hardcore of the training and the whole process of going through that, but ultimately it was your joy of doing something that you always wanted to do, and you're part of it, and you're giving back to the community and giving back to our veterans and so much more. So, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks, I appreciate that. That was a big push for me because I
Bet.
got selected and then I withdrew because I had seen some of the other guys and I was like, oh my God, you know. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna eat the shit sandwich and I'm gonna get back in there. So I got back in and I did. I
Good
made
for
it to the
you.
top 1%, which was pretty cool. And
That's
so
awesome, man.
yeah, so I was proud of myself,
And
but
you are in 1%. That you are in that group. And no matter what, every day should be in that group. Everyone should
I
be in that group.
appreciate that. Right
Yeah.
back at you. Man, so you've had some great career milestones. I got to tell you, one of my favorite things that you did, you got to be on Melrose Place with Heather
Oh yeah,
Locklear.
of course, yeah.
Yes. What was that experience like?
It was great because I was when I left General Hospital, everybody told me all the casting directors, they wanted me to stay, and everybody wanted me to stay on that show, and I just didn't want to stay. I don't want to be trapped in doing a soap. I want to do everything. I had a great time, and I loved being part of those 2 years. But at the end of the day, I wanted to make movies, and I wanted to do TV shows, and I wanted to travel around the world. I wanted to just have my life and my career, and I went to New Mexico. I was a young dad. I was a father at 22, which I wanted to be. And I was doing a show with Steven Spielberg. I was working on Earth 2 in the middle of the desert right there in New Mexico, in one of the biggest shows ever. And when that was ran its course, I went back to LA, and Aaron Spelling called me. And I had a meeting with him, the great Aaron Spelling, and he told me that he wrote something for me on Melrose Place. And then I went there, and I was working with Heather, which was amazing. She was what a star, what an amazing person. And yeah, so that was incredible. Yeah, I've learned a lot. We joked a lot. It was just a lot of fun. And I was taken from place to place and being involved with stars and huge people in the business and being part of amazing projects. And I love working. My father always told me to go to work. My father was an actor before me, and I had a way of going to work that it was very, probably the most professional way. I would punch in and punch out. I would be so professional. I would be the first one in and the last one to leave. And I never shared my private life with anyone, and I kept it very professional. So I've only have really great memories in all the films that I ever made because I treat it like an amazing job and to be a blessing to be part of it and still do. But I know the difference. And I was taught that way from my father. You know, you go to work, you do your thing. Because in show business, when you work on a set every day, people open up about their lives, they get close to people. And then when the movie's over, people go their separate ways and they take it personal. For me, it was always a job and a job that I love dearly. And I want to be the best at it. And so for me, it was going to work, doing what you asked to do, bring yourself to the table, be available, rely on directors. I love working with directors very much. I always told them the first day when I met any director, I would say to them, it's not my movie, it's our movie, and you are the captain of the ship, and I'm following you, and I'm being directed by you. Tell me and keep telling me. I'm not here to come in with my expertise. The ego comes in and I'm the actor, blah, blah, blah. No. I rely on people. I rely on my costume design. I rely on people on a movie set. And that's why I've always had really great friends in transportation and the stunt department and the makeup and the crew and the grips, because I actually took the time to really talk to every one of them. Because sometimes actors only talk to actors and whatever. I never really talked to actors. To me, it was just work with the actors on that, but I wanted to be with normal folks and talk about life and stuff like that, because I cannot be just like, you know, I want to get to know the whole crew and I want to get to know them as people because they're working so hard, you know, building sets, you know, being there before you get there, you know, leaving after, bringing stuff, you know, like a makeup artist and the whole group has to bring all that stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of work that takes place to make a movie. And I appreciate every one of them.
Yeah, I love your perspective. You're a community builder. You get it. You're a people person. That's awesome. Not many people, rare breed these days, you know.
Acting is a, it's, you know, you see actors showing up with their assistants and this and that, and they separate themselves. For me, it's a community to work on a movie. You know, even the security guard who was opening the gate for the to get inside the studio or the warehouse, I want to get to know everybody. And because without them, I can't work. Without them, we can't shoot anything. That's why I love directing. That's why I love producing. That's why I love being part of it. And then every time I leave the set, there's always one or two people or even more. They come up to me and go, you know, you're a real dude. You're one of those guys. I wasn't expecting you to be that way. I'm like, that's who I am. I'm a human being like you are, and I appreciate you, you know? And I always told them that.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, you've had so many great initiatives and you just keep going and you're consistent with all of them. You're multifaceted and kind of into a little bit of everything, but the same things consistently for
Well, I've
decades.
done it my way, in a way, my friend, that it was like, you know, people say, well, you're not in a Marvel movie or you're not in a studio movie. I've done studio movies, but, you know, they want you to be in a certain way. They want you to speak a certain way away from the movie. You see, everybody in Hollywood has to follow the same line. And if you don't, then you're considered the outsider, or they call people MAGA, or they call Republican conservatives, or you're a Christian actor, whatever. They have a name for everything. Me, I'm Antonio Sabato Jr., regardless of any of this other stuff. So the reason why I don't, you know, maybe I'm not in that department is because when you work on a studio movie, and when you're working on these big productions, you got to follow directions. You know, when you go to a talk show, you got to say certain things. I know the publicists and the PR firms and all that. You can't speak about this. You can't. I want to do what I want to do. You hire me based on my performance and my acting ability. Don't hire me because I like this color or I like this other thing. It's got nothing to do with it. So I always was fighting for that. Even before this political, even before Trump, even before this whole thing started years and years ago, there was always a community of people that, you know, when I was a Democrat, because, you know, I was a Democrat, Republican, who cares about this political stuff? Now I'm like, I don't care about any of this political stuff. I don't even want to talk about it, but we kind of have to, because I kind of feel like when you're in Hollywood, they're so political. Like, if you work with these people, let's say Marvel, I'm just giving you Marvel actors, the Robert Downey and all these people, they will never talk about politics. They can't. And that's fine, but they all talk about the same thing, the transgenderism, the woke agenda, and all this. That's fine. But if I'm a Christian and I believe in God and I put Jesus first, and you, the producer, the studio says, well, you can't wear a cross or you can't talk about Jesus at your interviews, I don't want to work with you, because I got to be free to have my opinion. I got to live my life on my principles. You live on principles on the woke agenda. That's fine. You want to talk about that. You're allowed to do that. But I can't talk about Jesus on a movie that is produced by 20th Century Fox. Actually, it's not even 20th Century Fox. They changed it. Or Paramount or whatever. So I hope the producers see this or they see me and they go, I like Antonio. I might disagree, whatever. I don't care about this stuff. But I want to hire him based on what he could bring to the table. And that's what I want to work. I want to work with guys that have guts and glory, that don't care about all this other nonsense. And they just want to fight and work to make the project and the TV show, whatever we're doing, the movies, as best as we can. That's my job. You hire me as an actor. But then afterwards, I want to talk about things that I'm passionate about. And I don't want you to put a wall in front of me and say, you can't, because I can do whatever I want. And when you say slow, like a racing horse, when you put a blockage on who I am, I'm going to fight twice as hard. I'm going to go through that wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it. I love your perspective. I agree. Yeah. It's, you know, there's got to be reciprocity in the relationship there in any capacity. I love that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. And you know what? I love when we were messaging this morning, I had that underlined note from your book. I love that you found your soulmate. Talk a little bit about finding your soulmate. That's amazing. It's lightning in a bottle.
I think you got to be ready. You got to be ready and knowing exactly what you want. My girl, you know, Katya, we are spiritually married. You know, we didn't want to get married in the church or things like that, because I don't want to be right now in the life in the world that we live in. When you marry somebody, it's a contract between you and the federal department. They basically own you federally. It's not about spiritual anymore. So for me and my girl, we are together. We've been together 8 amazing years. It's coming up. June 23rd is our anniversary. It's also my mother's birthday. And we are together as a couple, and we are together spiritually in every single way, because we've been through enough. We know exactly what we want. And when you know what you want and you ask for it in a way that it cannot be stopped. And that goes with everything that I do in my life. So, and I tell people, if you're with somebody and you're living with somebody, if you don't love them dearly, if you don't tell them you love them all the time, if you're not physically attracted to them, if you don't kiss them and hold them or whatever, you want to be with them, you just want to be next to them all the time, then what's the point of being together? And I see a lot of marriages, people sleep in different rooms. They have this cordial thing where, you know, they look at other people or they sleep. That's not us. For me, it's like with everything that I do, it's concentration, it's giving my all to that particular thing. And it goes with my children, and it goes with my partner, my family, my work ethic, my racing, my boxing, whatever. It's that's why when I dated people, or when I was never like wanted to share that with the world. You know, when me and Madonna dated, nobody knew. The only reason why people know is because I said it. Because I mentioned it many, many years later. I mean, she was doing Vogue at the time. She was the biggest star in the world. And me and her had a really small amount of time together when we got to know each other as people. She cannot take that away from me, and I cannot take that away from her. That was many years. I wasn't even 20 years old at the time. But I kept it private. I kept the paparazzi. Nobody shot pictures of us. And that goes with everybody else that I was with, because I don't want them to know my business. And also, they will never understand what I'm going through. And it's none of their business anyway. So I kept my life private, and to a point where nobody knew until I let them know.
Yeah. I was reading that in the book, too. I love that. That's what I was saying. Very classy. Very, you know, very classy guy. I'm sure the ladies appreciate that about you, too. And yeah, that's amazing. And congratulations on your upcoming anniversary and your mother's birthday. Thank you. Photos of your mother and your children too. Beautiful photos of your children. Now, how old are your kids?
Well, we got 30-year-old, my son, who gave me a beautiful granddaughter. I have my daughter, who's in her early 20s, stunning, beautiful inside and out. My daughter, Mina. My firstborn is Jack. Jack Antonio Sabato. Then we have Mina, and then we have the little guy. He's little. He's a teenager now. He's going to be a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's in his teens, and his name is Antonio Kamakana Aloha Maikalani, which in Hawaiian language and Hawaiian heritage means the gift from the heavens, which he was and he is. So I have my 3 children. Also, Katya has a beautiful daughter, which is my stepdaughter, Sasha, who's getting ready to go to college. We're so proud of her. And we have a very close family, and we love our children, and we're not going to have any more. We're good with children. We rescue cats now. We have 3 amazing rescue cats that we have, but Yeah, kids to us have given us and still given so much joy to our family. We love them dearly, of course.
That's amazing. We share so many perspectives. I love your perspective on your soulmate, finding your soulmate, and I agree wholeheartedly on everything you mentioned. Yeah, it's
Thank you.
amazing. I think that you have a very blessed life, and you have a lot going on, and you're just getting started,
I'm
man. I
just
think
getting
it's
started.
amazing.
That's right. Every day I'm getting started, and I want to keep that energy going. I want to push myself, and when you push yourself, you're never going to know until you do, right? So, and that comes from failures, from grief, from moments in your life where you went through some hard moments, but you made it through and you survived. And if you can survive that, then you can keep surviving and keep going to the next level. And there's always a next level, always.
Absolutely. Every day is a push for me, and I'm always looking for inspiration anywhere I can find it. I definitely found it in your book.
And that was a hard book to release, my friend, because the publishing, it was self-published, and we had a publishing company for the first book. They released it the wrong way. There was another book that came out before. This is my version, and this is the one you should get. But the first one wasn't right, and nobody wanted to release it because the conservative, blacklisting, you're the bad guy, whatever. But I did it anyway. So I released it anyway, and I wanted to release it with beautiful pictures of my family and my father, my mother, my sister, and obviously my Katya and the children, and all the experiences and pictures from racing and things like that. Because looking back, I had an amazing life, but I'm still having that amazing life today. And I want to tell people that it's not because people look in the past and go, I look great when I was in high school, and then they give up. I'm like, why can't you look great now? I had a great opportunity to do this when I was younger. What about now? I'm going to be racing for McLaren next year. That's a promise. I'm going to do the whatever I can to race for McLaren for a championship for the McLaren series. I also want to race at Le Mans. I want to do 24-hour Le Mans and actually finish that race if it's the last thing I do. I want to keep boxing. I want to keep making movies. So I want to do all those things, and it takes a drive like no other. And hopefully I can reach out to people who are lost, who are trying to figure out how to do it. And I'm like, look in the mirror and go, this is a life I want. I'm going to go get it. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen, no matter what anybody says. So it's a winning thing. Like, you're never second. Second is the first loser. You're going to win. You're going to win, and you're going to keep on winning for yourself, no matter what.
Absolutely. I love it. Man, Antonio, where can people find you for more inspiration? I know you've got an Instagram handle.
I got my Instagram now, and that's usually the best. I have some TikTok there, but I don't go there that much. But usually Instagram. The thing is, Instagram. But now that I'm going to the camp, and about, it's just the first day of training camp is the 12th of July, and I'm going to be a steel boxer at Venice Beach training hard. And as soon as that happens, I'm going to be off everything. And they're going to do stuff behind the scenes and put it into my social media. But for me, it's just, I really have something to prove and to showcase. And my style of fighting and everything. You've never seen an Italian guy move like me. And I'm excited to showcase that.
Now, where is the match going to air? Where is that going to
That's
air
going to be
at?
in Philadelphia. I think they're going to have it at one of the big stadiums, at one of the biggest casinos in Philadelphia. They're going to release the place next week. We're going to be in downtown Philly. It's going to be a casino. It's going to hold out thousands and thousands of people. It's going to be televised. It's going to be pay-per-view, all that good stuff. Celebrity Boxing is covering it. They're going to release the venue and everything. They also have an app you can download and follow through. But it's September 26th in Philadelphia. It's a Friday, and we're going to be rocking it out, and I'm going to be dancing, and we're going to be boxing.
Yes. So, any closing words for your opponent for the match?
Just bring it. Bring us the best you can bring. Because I'm going to. Like I said, I am just so excited to showcase my talent. I love the art of boxing, and I'm gonna knock them all out. Just everyone. And I want Mayweather, I want Jake Paul, I want all these people, and I want all the people to keep laughing and smiling, because I'm gonna be smiling at the end. And it's exciting. And I want to prove everybody, anybody that's out there that's willing to get in the ring, I give you credit. But you have no idea what's coming.
Amazing. I've had an amazing time chatting with you today. I think you are going to take
Me
that
too.
match hands down. I love it. You're very inspirational. We're going to put up all your links, your website for your clothing line, your handles. Make sure that you guys buy a ticket for the show in Philadelphia.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, September 26th. All right. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. I look forward to meeting you in person,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to have to come out there. My folks live down in Florida.
Please do. Please
absolutely.
Let me know.
Absolutely. All right. The iconic Antonio Sabato Jr., thank you for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's a wrap.